And he says, I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Or in other translations, it says the remotest parts of the earth. So he says, listen, not everybody has to leave. He says, I want you to be a witness in your hometown. He said Jerusalem, that's where they were at the time. So he says, you'd be a witness in Jerusalem, but then also Judea, Samaria, neighboring communities, but also the remotest parts of the earth. So the fact is, he's so committed to this that it's all across the globe that he says, you know what? I'm not coming back till the job is done. Basically what he said. Matthew 24:14, Jesus said this. He says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. You know, there are missions organizations that are committed to solely reaching nations or people groups that have never heard the gospel. Directly related to what Jesus said here. Some of them actually feel that they could be helping to bring on the return of Jesus by finishing up this command, that this is one of the things that's going to happen before it can return, so let's make sure it's done. In fact, one of the missions that we support, To Every Tribe, is committed to reaching unreached people groups, and that's what the Coonies, a family that we support, are looking to do. There's something like 6,000 different people groups that have never been reached or heard the gospel. Now, the Coonies aren't looking to make a huge, necessarily, mackerel change in that, but they're looking to make a change one soul at a time, and we have the privilege of supporting them and being part of that. So, Jesus wants us to do that. He commands it, as a matter of fact, and he says, I'm not even going to come back until this job is done. So that's the one reason. And the second one is that we need to. Jesus basically tells us that something wonderful happens inside of us when we aren't so self-focused and we allow ourselves to be focused on others outside ourselves. And that's not only just for us individually. I believe that works as a church also. The way Jesus basically said it is he says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So we want to serve others outside our own church walls. Not because necessarily they so desperately need our service, but what happens to us when we serve. It changes us. I think I had said last week was that when you are the most significant person in your life and it's all about you, you actually feel less significant because you actually are. Because all you're working for is yourself, and so that's a pretty small world to live for, just for yourself. And I think it's a pretty small world to live for just ourselves as a church. We don't want to just be a me-focused church. We want to be a kingdom-minded church. Isn't that what Jesus prayed for? So we want to be about his kingdom. And one of the ways we can be about his kingdom is to be involved with the missions that we feel God has placed for us to be a part of, to support financially, but we want to become more involved with in whatever ways we can, whether it's through prayer. Nancy is so into this thing because she works for the airlines. She's got plans to be able to go and see every missions work that we have, no matter where they are, whether they're here in the United States, Young Life here in the Barrier Island, or the Coonies over in Indonesia. She's going to go, and she's going to go and see it firsthand and be able to tell us what it looks like and challenge us to not allow this thing to just be a budget line item that we're going to look at next week at our annual meeting, but she's determined not to let us forget about it. We're going to keep it in the forefront of our consciousness and our minds and our prayer life. Hopefully even our emails and what we send out as encouragement to these people, or regular letters. If we're not into email, like Mary, she actually sends out physical handwritten letters to these missionaries. Does anybody even know what that is anymore? So God wants to do this. I really believe that. But I think there's something special when some people from our own congregation actually go out and they see what God's kingdom looks like on the other side of the globe and can come back here and say, listen, this is what God is doing on the other side of the planet, and encourage us and see how big our family is. And like we said, Nancy and Laura did this almost a year ago, and we've been trying to work it out to get them to share a little bit about it, and it just never seemed to work out. Then Nancy went again in November, and we just finally were able to work it out now. But you know what? I think it was supposed to be now, because just the way things are working in our church, and now that we're on this topic of missions, I think it was supposed to be now. So this is God's perfect timing. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm going to ask them to come on up and just tell us about their experiences and what God's doing all the way over in Thailand. So come on up.
Good morning. Thank you. Excuse me, my voice. I'm losing my voice as of yesterday. I want to thank all of you who went with me and Laura through prayer and through your giving. You went with us to Thailand. I thank you so much for that. The people really appreciated it, and they really thank you and really took that into their hearts, your prayers and your gifts to them. So thank you so much for that. This is Lourdes Holmes. She is a missionary that we were serving under in Thailand. That's a picture of her when she was 25 years old. She's from the Philippines, and she left the Philippines that year that picture was taken to go as the Philippine Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. She was their first female missionary ever sent to Thailand. And this is her today. She's 75 years old last year. That's her husband, Charlie. She was actually serving as a single woman in Thailand from 1967 until, I think, 84 when they got married. And so she's been there. This year will be 50 years that she's been serving there. And I'm so humbled by that because, you know, I think Laura and I were there for almost a month. But, you know, when I think of what it takes to be in a place for 50 years and to be faithful to that, and to not be, you know, they went through so many things in the 70s with just danger and travel by boat and just, you know, lean times. I mean, so many times she was having to ask for support from her church, just all kinds of just obstacles and learning the language and the culture. You know, you have to just dig deep in a foreign field for their culture and to find the heart of the people and to be able to reach them. And she did that, and she's still doing that today. So I want to just give you, because we only have a few minutes, I just want to give you just a kind of a scope of the mission that they've had for the last 50 years that continues today. So this is a huge ministry of theirs. It's prison ministry. They were the very first to go inside the prisons in Thailand with evangelism. And today, you know, what their goal is evangelism, to make Jesus known and his saving power, his shed blood for them, and also to disciple. So they've planted, they go to visit 19 prisons regularly. There are, I think, maybe 65 prisons throughout Thailand. They can't, of course, visit each one, but they have those few that they visit regularly. They send out a team of 9 every month, and some are weekly visits, some are bi-monthly, and some are just once per month. But in those visits, they've been able to plant churches, and they go back and visit the inmates and encourage them in the Lord. And so their church is planted inside today, and they just try to encourage, you know, through prayer and through their visits because the visits are, you know, can you imagine if we were just able to meet once a month? You need so much more than that. So they've been able to strengthen and encourage those churches to be able to just feed themselves between the visits from the Holmes' ministry. So these are, this is inside the women's prison. They have women's prisons and men's prisons. And this is a large women's prison inside Bangkok that Laura and I were able to visit. And these women, we just felt such a oneness with them. And I was continually struck by the lack of difference between me and them. And I just remember thinking how, you know, we're no different. Like they feel shame for being in there for whatever they've done. But I feel like we have no difference. You know, we all have sin, and my sin just happens to not carry a prison sentence with it, and theirs does. So I felt a connection with them, you know, in realizing that. And Laura did too. She'll tell you about it in a few minutes. But it was really such a blessing to be with them. I can't help crying whenever I'm with them. I mean, just, you know, just the, I don't know what, I can't even explain it, but it was just a joy to be with them. So out of that ministry, out of the prison ministry, they saw the Holmeses, Charles and Lourdes, saw a need to care for children of these prisoners. So this is Bethany Home. These are some of the children at Bethany Home. And those are the kids that, those of you that donated backpacks went to those kids. And at the time, I think there were, I don't know, Laura probably knows how many children, 22 or 20 something. They've had as many as 31 or 32 kids there, anywhere from infancy to college age. And they're able to care for them. They learn to do chores, and you know, they have meals there. There's a girls' dorm and a boys' dorm. And then there are house parents there that just care for them and train them up in the Lord. They have a church there on the premises, and they make sure that they go to school and get an education. And it's not just prisoners, it's mostly prisoners' kids. A lot of those prisoners have life sentences. If you get caught with drugs in Thailand, it's an automatic life sentence, sometimes a death sentence. And there are people that, you know, have had kids. I mean, there was one woman, she had a child, she gave birth in prison, and she was able to keep her child for 3 years, but after that, the child was taken. And so this was birthed out of that, the prison ministry, just seeing that need there for prison children. And also, they also do let orphans, and there's a few children there from broken homes as well. But they do hear the word of God there. They are, I mean, it's definitely a loving place, and a place that's filled with the knowledge of Jesus. So this was one way that Laura served. They loved Laura. I have to tell you, I mean, those of us, she's our own, you know, we know her giftings and how wonderful she is. But they loved Mom Laura. Like when I went back in November, the kids and just so many of the people there that had met her continually asked me, "Where's Mom Laura?" They call her Mom Laura. They loved her. And here she was giving, she gave a lot of the kids haircuts there, and was undaunted by the head lice that just was rampant throughout a lot of the kids. It's just part of, you know, living in those places. There's a lot of that, but she wasn't daunted, and a lot of those kids got good haircuts that were much needed. So that was just one way that she served, and it was greatly appreciated by them. We just had fun playing with them. We stayed with them for a couple days and a couple nights, and it was just a joy to be with them. They're really just wonderful, beautiful kids. So this is the Bible Seminary. This is another part of the Holmes' ministry. This is a branch of the Philippine, there's a Baptist seminary in the Philippines, and this is a branch of it in Thailand, and Charles and Lourdes helped to oversee that. And actually in that picture, two of these are two kids that were from Bethany Home that actually attended that and did graduate from seminary. So another part of their scope of their ministry is tribal ministry. This is a part of a wedding procession that Laura and I were invited to this wedding. It was part of the Karen tribe. There are five tribes that the Holmeses minister to. Tribal ministry is so important there in Southeast Asia. Tribes are indigenous people. They're like Native Americans, but they... Tribal people there, they live on the fringes of countries like Laos, Cambodia, Burma, Vietnam, Thailand, China, and they are basically unregistered, like no citizenship. They're unregistered without a country, so they don't have the rights of citizenship. They just are, you know, just trying to get by. It's hard for them to get an education. It's hard for them to get jobs. I mean, it's just really hard for them to survive. And not only that, but a lot of the tribes have spirit worship, animal worship, or animism, which is like a spirit, demonic kind of worship. And those are their traditional religions. And so there's a lot of darkness there. And the Holmeses have gone in and tried to really reach those tribes. So of the five tribes scattered across Thailand's borders and in rural places, they've reached those five tribes through 500 different villages. And what they have a heart to do is to equip the leaders, you know, those that have accepted Christ and are now being discipled. Their goal is to equip those believers to go back into their tribes to spread the gospel. Because what usually happens, the demonic worship or that spiritism or animism is such a dark and scary traditional religion that when somebody hears the gospel, they run from that, and they're just so, they embrace Christ so easily, but they don't want to go back into their village and share it. They're just happy to be out. And so to equip them to teach and spread the gospel to their own people is the best way to reach those people. So that's how they're ministering with those tribes and really discipling those who are already believers and sending them back into the tribes. But it was just a joy to be with them. This was one family in that village that invited me in, and we had bought a bunch of snacks and things, and we, you know, they didn't speak any English at all, but it was just a joy to just, you know, sit with them and share snacks and laugh with them and smile. And you know, I felt like such a love for them, even though we could barely communicate. They're just wonderful. There's Laura, one of the kids, and she just has such a way with children. And she's got the some of the traditional fabric that they weave there. That was a gift to her, I believe, from one of the village people there. And more of the kids enjoying the snacks. And some of those are snacks I think you sent with us. Okay, so not only do they... they plant churches inside of prisons and different places, but this is their own home church. This church also has four daughter churches, and that's a big part of their ministry as well, is just keeping that church healthy and alive and equipping their own body of believers. Okay, this is another huge ministry that they have. So in Thailand, what I really learned so much from Lourdes is that when you are a missionary in a foreign field, you have to dig deep into that culture to see the best way to reach those people. And in Thailand, Thailand's not really a poor country anymore like it used to be. I mean, there is a lot of poverty there, but it's not like places where if you just give a free meal, people will come. That is not a way to reach people with the gospel in Thailand. They don't respond to that. They're not hungry, physically hungry, but they do want to learn English. They have this... I'm not sure why, but everybody wants to learn English there. So when the Holmeses realized that, they took that and just ran with it. And so they have a huge track ministry. They pass out thousands of tracks every year. And on that track is on the back of it is stamped a contact information that says, we'll give you free English lessons and contact us here. And for you to get those free English lessons, you have to go through their Bible correspondence class. So you cannot get, you know, this English unless you do that. So people end up doing it because they want the free English. And so it was amazing to me how they found that, you know, a way to get in by, you know, seeing what the need was, what their, you know, the dreams and goals of those people were, and using that to get in, and also using the culture. The Thai people are very polite, and they would never, not like here where, you know, we don't do track ministry in a big way here. I mean, people don't receive it well. We feel awkward with it. But there, people are so polite, and they would never, you know, they would accept it just out of politeness. And then once they have it, they read it a lot of times. And so they've reached thousands of people through this. And a lot of people have come to know Christ because of it. So every year they have this it's a free English camp. In addition to their Bible correspondence and teaching English lessons, they hold this camp every year annually in May. And Laura and I were able to go there and teach the kids English. It was a challenge for me. That's not my gifting. Laura was amazing with it. She had little kids. I had these kids that were very hard to control, but it was a challenge. But I was happy to do it. But this camp has been going on for 24 years. This year will be their 25th anniversary of holding this camp. This is just, it's a funny picture, but I just wanted to just kind of document the Bible correspondence lessons. It's not just, this goes out to prisoners. Prisoners can complete these courses, but also the people that are reached by track ministry. It's quite an extensive Bible correspondence course. They have introductory lessons, foundations of the faith, like what we just went through. And then they go into, the epistles, and then great doctrines of the Bible, divinity, and grace. I mean, it's really quite an extensive course, and a lot of prisoners have gone all the way through that and have really gotten a great foundation in that. So it's quite amazing. They also give that in 43 different languages, just because the prisoners have so many different, there's so many different countries that they come from. So anyway, I want to give Laura some time to share. I just wanted to share that with you to say, I was so inspired by how the Holmeses, this one woman, what God can do through the commitment and obedience of one person. Of course, she can't do it alone. She had people coming alongside her. But just like us, Laura and I went, and you came alongside us in prayer and giving, and that's how we function as a body of Christ. And so it was just amazing to me. It was humbling. And, I think we went over there for, it was just under a month, but they've been there 50 years. And I just think, look at the fruit of that. It just is exciting to me what God can do. And so I just want to inspire you and encourage you. And I'm excited to see what God will do through us. So here's Laura. She has her own experience.
I didn't get this at TJ Maxx. It was such a blessing to go on this trip. This is the airport. Is it going to time or no? Okay, this is the homes, obviously. You're going to see a few of the same people and recognize. This is their home where they live. They have probably about a dozen or so people that come and help them. They're of Filipino background. Every night, noon, and evening, they fellowship and they have meals together. And the best part was they have meals after church, which I would love to do here. So it inspires one to want a fellowship if there's some good food. It was great to have Frankie. He was in India, so he met us there and he was there for the duration. And his testimony was powerful, obviously, in the prisons. It was wonderful. I got to cook Nancy a birthday dinner there because we were there for her birthday, which is April 21st. This is the after church fellowship, which is so important for those of you who kind of shy away from fellowship. Jump right in. Sister Holmes really made sure that we got a taste of culture in Thailand. So it was busy. I mean, we really only had time to just sleep, wake up, eat, run out the door. I don't know how she does it at 75. This is one of the many Buddhist temples there. And it was just crazy, the marketplaces. And we were glad to have Frankie there for a ministry of carting all our bags. Oh boy, Nancy. Nancy had the shopping ministry. And Nancy was bonding with this elephant. And one of the most terrifying experiences was to ride on top of one of those things. And Nancy has a video, which I'm glad she didn't share it, but I was screaming the whole time, I want to get off. This is another temple. The temples are so elaborate. The homes share, I mean, their life is so, it's Thai Ronald McDonald. Sister Holmes shares her love of music with everyone there in the house, and she teaches them how to play piano. The Thai people love their sweets. Everything is sweet, which that's right up my alley. This was for Nancy's birthday. A woman who cooks for the queen made all these treats. They're edible. They're made of bean paste. This is some crazy amazing soup. We ate very well there, and we were treated like royalty. And it was cool to see Frankie just blend right in, because that's his heart for missions. I wish I had some of that right now. So good. This was on our way to Chiang Mai to the tribal wedding, and this is a typical tribal wedding outfit. They wear red and black, and there was just rows and rows and rows of this meal. This is the bride and the groom. This is the last day that she wears white, and it's the groom's dinner, and then the next day she wears this. The food was amazing, amazing, and it's very rustic, so, you know, we were praying, God, don't let us get sick, please, but we didn't. It was hard putting this together because these people really wove themselves into our hearts. And last night I was doing it and just brought to tears. This is the pastor and his wife of the church up where Bethany Home is. And they just give. They pour out. And they asked me, please ask the people to pray for us. That's a lot to take care of all these children. While we were there, there were two kids that were brought in the morning. I was woken up by these shrieks, and this father was dropping his two kids off, you know. And that's what they have. And the older kids will come in, they'll bathe the kids, they take care of them. This little boy was, his name's Kong. What a sweetheart. And I just fell in love with all of them, and it was so hard to say goodbye. This little boy's name is Boy, and I wanted to put him in my suitcase. So cute. She is kind of like the grandma of the Bethany Home and helps to cook and care, and they're always just loving on the kids constantly. You know, they sleep in a big, big dormitory. This was saying goodbye, because our next step was to go to life camp, and then we reunited with all the kids at life camp, which was really cool to see them get to play and interact and be in a pool and do things that they don't get to do. They don't really have outdoor play equipment here. I don't know why. That might be something that we could do for them. I don't know. This is a little sweet girl who had a cleft palate surgery, and Sister Lourdes. These were the two kids that were abandoned when I was there, and it was really cool to see them being loved and brought in by the other kids and make friends. And they made friends with these kids. And, you know, it was a transition, and that was really hard to see. But God pulled them in. This is the women's prison, and that was an amazing experience. This is a dad and his two kids that we're going to visit. As we walked in, I heard these praises, beautiful praises, and they were the women singing praises to Jesus in prison. And it was there that I felt so grateful for all the things that God has allowed me to go through in my life, which was a less than perfect childhood, because I was able to connect, and I was able to bring glory to God and say, but God, but God, but God. This is, I had a blast with these kids. It was Doors on the Bus, Go Open and Shut. They love that song. I don't know, I'm a three-year-old at heart, I think. These were some amazing people, Dr. Jim and Jin, and they have a ministry called Every Tribe, Every Nation, and they reach the unreached people groups of Thailand. So they really go into the remotest areas, kind of like the Kunis. And, you know, they could be living well off and having an easy life, but that's not what they chose. This little girl really captured our hearts. Her name is Koi in the middle. She's 21 years old. She's about the size of maybe an 11-year-old. And I still keep in contact to her through via Facebook. We do Facebook video calls. And there was another young gentleman. Let me see. I don't know. Jonathan, I think Jonathan's going to be the next one. Those are the two kids. Jonathan is a young man from Georgia who had a background much like Frankie's. God delivered him, set him free. He moved to the Karen tribe, which, let me tell you, it's rustic. There is no, I couldn't believe, like, the bathroom. But that is his home. That is his home, and he has given his life. He works with the Life Center, which is a rehab center. This is Tatumwa and Tatupa, and he's an ex-addict and set free and loved Jesus like no other, and they've given their lives to serve the people there. Koi, again, she's obsessed with monkeys, so I got her this monkey shirt, and she drew a picture of me for my birthday, and... Amazing. And then this is Rasa. Rasa is a refugee. He's a Christian. He can never go back into Pakistan. His mom just passed away. He couldn't go back to honor her, so he calls me mom. And I keep in touch with him. And this is Koi. Is there any way you could move that over just a teensy weensy? Koi loves to draw, and she's really talented, but I just wanted you to see that. And it's not about living so that he can give us the desires of our hearts, but rather we live so that he can make his desires become the desire of our hearts.
There is a video that the Bethany Home kids just wanted you to see. It's their gift to you.
Hello everyone, this is the greeting from Bethany Home and all Bethany kids. We would like to thank you so much for the equipments you have sent us, like the bags, notebooks, pencils, rulers, rubbers, and everything that you have sent us. We like it so much, and we are so blessed to receive the kindness that you have share with us. We would like to thank you so much for sending those to us, Bethany Kids. We would like to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. May God bless every one of you. Thank you so much. Khop khun khap.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amai.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amai.
Thank you.
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 So you're done? I wasn't sure. Okay. No, you know what? Just to see their hearts for these kids, that's what I'm hoping to see this year as we get more involved with our missions, that we could have that same heart bound with our missions, because it really, it's so healthy for a church, and I know that's what God desires to do within us as we get ourselves, our eyes off ourselves, and look out to God's greater kingdom. He'll do greater things within us. Amen. Amen.